This week we read Parashas Nitzavim Vayelech, and we had a Chumash here on it. It's posted up on YU Torah if you want to listen to last week's Chumash. But there were a lot of messages and lessons for Parashas Nitzavim Vayelech that we spoke about in correlation to the Yom HaDin, in correlation to Rosh Hashanah. But there's one message that I didn't have a chance to get to. It's really, I think, an important message for life. But I think for this generation that we're part of, there's a very important idea. The Torah talks about in Parashas Vayelech, the mitzvah of Hakel. The mitzvah when Klal Yisrael comes together every seventh year, and the Sukkos, post-Shemitah year, Klal Yisrael gets together. And we actually discussed this at length in one of our shurim about why the men come and why the women come. The women come to hear, the men come to learn. That's a proof to whether or not women have a chi of Talmud Torah. We've discussed that in the past. But the Gemara tells us in Chagiga, Rashi quotes in the Chumash, so why do the children come? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Litein tzchar le'meviim. The children come to give rewards for those who bring them. So the question is, what does the Gemara mean to give rewards for those who bring them? So I think there's a very important message that the Torah is telling us, which is very relevant for our lives. The Torah is telling us that you know why the parents get rewards for bringing their children? Because the moment they're with their children, they automatically have to behave differently. The moment your kid is sitting next to you, or your grandkid is sitting next to you in shul, or sitting next with you at the shir, you're going to behave very different than if your grandson or granddaughter is not sitting with you. When the Torah required us to bring our children for us to be early regal that year, to be at Hakel, the Torah is requiring us to be at our best behavior. Because we definitely don't want to act inappropriately with our children sitting here. So the Torah is saying, you know why you get the reward? You get the reward because since you brought your children, now you are forced to behave better. Now you're forced, you're up against the wall, you have to now behave in a way that maybe you wouldn't have wanted to, or you would have liked to be otherwise. But now that you have them sitting next to you, now the Torah is demanding of you that you have to behave and you have to show proper chinuch. You know, we live in a generation, Baruch Hashem, where parents and grandparents get to be closer to their grandchildren than in any other generation. Today, whether it be because people are living a little closer to each other, or Baruch Hashem is grandparents. There was an entire generation who grew up without grandparents. The Holocaust ruined an entire generation of children to never zeicha to have grandparents, let alone be near them or talk to them. But Baruch Hashem, we live in a world today where many of us are blessed to be able to live near our grandchildren, or even if we don't live near them, we get to see them on Zoom or other technological devices, and they're really a part of our life. But it comes along with an unbelievable responsibility. The more we're going to be around them, the more we have to be in our best behavior. And kol shekein, if someone's lucky enough that their grandchildren dine with them in a shul together, they live in a community where it's walking distance and they can spend Shabbos together or Yom Tov together or even meals together, as great as it is, it comes along with such a heavy responsibility because it requires that you have to be on your best behavior because they're watching. Kids are so smart. They really are. They pick up on every nuance, every detail, everything that we do, they're watching and they're storing it away in their mind and they're saying to themselves, I remember I saw this by my father, I saw this by my grandfather. He talked during Kaddish, he talked during Kaddish, you know, it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that. And it's really it's so sad because we're setting up another generation for misguidance. And again, I don't think anyone means it on purpose, Chas v'Shalom, we're not bad people, but sometimes we let our guard down. We think, oh, they're little kids, they don't understand, they don't know. I'll tell you one thing, little kids are a lot smarter than most of the adults. They chop everything that's going on and they process it. And therefore, if we're giving them the wrong information, if we're showing them the wrong path, if we're talking during davening, and if we're not showing the proper respect, then we're not giving them a chance. So the Torah is saying, you know why you got so much reward for bringing your children? Because now you have to be in your best behavior. Now you have to act the way you're supposed to act. And the moment they're there, all of a sudden it changes the way you're supposed to behave. And it's an important message as we go into the Yom Teruim, we go into Sukkot. A lot of, hopefully, we should all be healthy, we should be able to spend time with our family, which itself is a blessing as we learned, sadly, the hard way this past year that it's not such a simple thing to be able to spend time with your family, your grandchildren and your children and even close family. But nonetheless, we have to realize it comes at an expense, it comes at an achrayis that we have to make sure, we have to ask ourselves, is this is what I want to be showing them? Is this the best me that I am presenting to them? Is this the way I want them to remember me as their grandfather, me as their father? This type of behavior, or is I want to give them over perhaps another way of looking at life, another way of looking at Avodas Hashem? It's such a, in my opinion, it's very, very important. Baruch Hashem, today we're lucky enough that the grandparents and the grandchildren can be very close. Even if they live very, very many, many, many miles away, they can have a relationship, whether it be Zoom, whether it be through email, texting. It's really something very special that this generation has. And I often quote from Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik points out that there should be no such thing as a generation gap. There's no such thing as, oh, I can't talk to my grandparents because they're old, they're outdated, they're not with it, they don't get it, they don't have a Facebook page, and, you know, I can't connect to them. We have to make sure that we're connecting to the next generation, but we're connecting in a healthy way, in a way that we're giving over our beautiful Messiah, all the wonderful things that we learned from our parents and our Rabbeim and our many years in learning, and we have to make sure we're not giving them over all our chesreinus. Now, they say over chesreinus are given over in the DNA. Now, but we don't have to necessarily go out and do it outwardly. We don't need them to pick up on all our shortcomings and all our mistakes and all our flaws. So that's what I think the Torah is teaching us in the parasha of Hakel. The Torah is reminding us that you're going to be around the kids. You're going to be around the family. You're going to be around the most vulnerable population that's going to learn and pick up and see and learn. Make sure you are on your utmost best behavior. Just a thought on Slichas. I spoke about this in my shul last night at length. Jake is 100% right. I urge everyone to take a listen to Reb Asher Weiss's short video clip about Slichas. He points out some very, very interesting ideas about Slichas that will definitely change the way you say Slichas. I mentioned it in my share, but it's a little lengthy, so I'm not going to get into it. I'm just going to send you a maramachim to take a listen to what Reb Asher Weiss had to say. But I just want to share with you an idea from the Al Shech HaKadosh. The Gemara tells us in Masechas Rosh Hashanah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that I'm giving you the recipe for success. Whenever Kaal Yisrael sins, they do something wrong. So Hashem says, tell them to do the Gimel Midas. Also, Lefon HaKeseder HaZeh, do this order in front of me, and I will be Meichel them. What's this? So the Gemara says it's Yud Gimel Midas. So the Al Shech HaKadosh asks, if it's not true, I know a lot of people who say Yud Gimel Midas, and they don't get Nimchilu, and they don't get all forgiven. So the Al Shech says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say the Yud Gimel Midas. Hashem said, do the Yud Gimel Midas. Yud Gimel Midas is one of the highlights of our slichas. We say it over and over and over again. But Hashem doesn't want us just to say the lip service. He wants us to make that into who we are. Meaning, what are the words of Hashem? What are the words of Yud Gimel Midas? Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum Bechanan, you're compassionate. Erech Apayim, you take long to anger. Verav Chesed, you're full of kindness. We gotta live that lifestyle. We need to spend these next couple of days living a lifestyle of Yud Gimel Midas, where we transform into being more compassionate, more caring, more giving, more loving, more patience, more tolerable. That's what Hashem wants of us. The Yud Gimel Midas is not just the lip service of the Yud Gimel Midas. Say it and go on your merry way. Hashem demands more of us. He wants us to allow the Yud Gimel Midas to transform who we are, make us better people, make us more caring, more loving, more giving people. And then Hashem says, yeah, then I'll be Meichel you. If the Yud Gimel Midas penetrate in a way where it changes who you are, you now become a better person, then I could give you Mechila. You know, I think we're right now in a place in the world. Rabbi Leibowitz touched upon this on his Chumash Drasha on Friday. You know, we're in a place now in the world where there's probably so much divide in Klal Yisrael over things like, you know, masks and no masks, and how to daven Rosh Hashanah, should you skip this, should you skip that. And as I mentioned many times, it's ironic that something like Corona is supposed to bring us together, and now it's allowing us to divide. And it's creating such a vicious split in Klal Yisrael where people are calling each other names, and groups are bashing the other group. You know, that group that does it that way, they're a bunch of Amoratzim. And the group that's doing it this way, they're a bunch of Amoratzim. And it's really creating such a serious divide and such bad blood in Klal Yisrael. And it's troublesome and it bothers me. Because again, these things are not supposed to divide us, they're supposed to unite us. And I'm not saying you have to agree with every Rav Tzak. I'm not saying you have to agree with every doctor's, you know, ruling. But there's no reason for the name-calling, the bashing, the slandering. That's not going to get us anywhere. If you don't feel comfortable adopting the minyan that has X and Y rule, that's your opinion. But you don't have to go home and tell everyone, oh, that shul is so crazy, that's so ridiculous, that rabbi is so out of touch, he doesn't know anything. Or that rabbi is so extreme, he doesn't care about Rosh Hashanah. That's not the point, and that's not going to get us anywhere. And that's definitely not a fulfillment of the Yud Gimel Midas. That's not called being more compassionate. That's not called being more loving. That's not called being more tolerable. That's just called being more self-centered and being that I'm the only person who could be right and everyone else has to be wrong. And that's not going to get us a positive Gemar Din. We're looking this season for tricks and tactics to get us a good upcoming year. I guarantee you, bashing another group or community, Rabbi Shul, for their policies on Rosh Hashanah will not get you that. You don't want to dive in there? That's fine. You don't like, you don't feel comfortable? That's fine. But bashing them and putting them down and making fun of them and speaking Lashon Hara on them will not get you any better year coming up. I can guarantee you that much. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has very little patience for those people that divide Klal Yisrael. He's not looking for people that are going to create trouble and fights and arguments and speak ill of Gedolim and, you know, speak bad about people. You know, someone called me up last week and they said, Reb Chaim Kanevsky made a certain statement about Corona. What do I have to say about it? I said, all I have to say about it is I know I'm smart enough not to say anything against Reb Chaim Kanevsky. That's all I'm going to say. Well, what are we going to do? We're going to start bashing Gedolim. We know better. We're smarter. That's not our agenda. They'll say what they'll say, and you'll follow whoever your Rav is, or whoever your Rebbe is, and that's fine. Shalom alei nafshi, I'm very happy for everyone. But I can guarantee everyone this, speaking ill and bashing and arguing is not going to get us any better of a ticket for the upcoming year. That's not what Hashem wants to see. You see, over an unbelievable story with the previous Belzer Rebbe, this Belzer Rebbe's uncle. The Belzer Rebbe, towards the end of his life, he was already, the Belzer Rebbe survived, the whole story, how the Belzer Rebbe survived, he made it to Eretz Yisrael, happens to be a fascinating story. The whole Belzer Chassidus is a fascinating story because they were sure that Belzer Chassidus was going to die out because the Rebbe had no children. His brother had one son, who's the Belzer Rebbe now, and it took him many, many years to have children. So the whole Belzer dynasty happens to be like a fairy tale story of how Belzer Chassidus, and Baruch Hashem, the Belzer Rebbe had only one son also. But the Belzer Rebbe's son had, I don't know, like 10 kids. He's making chasnas every single day for them. He's got a very large, many, many grandchildren. But the first Belzer Rebbe, the previous Belzer Rebbe, was getting ready for the Yom Nerayim, and a relative of his came to visit him Rosh Hashanah time. And he was talking to the Belzer Rebbe, and he said to the Belzer Rebbe, asked him, "Nu, how are things doing?" And the fellow said to the Belzer Rebbe, "You know, halavai that every community in Eretz Yisrael could be like this community." And what he meant to say basically was that there's problems in Klal Yisrael. You know, parts of Eretz Yisrael are not trying to tell mitzvahs, and they're not behaving. So halavai, all of Klal Yisrael, all of Eretz Yisrael can behave like this community. And the Belzer Rebbe was livid. The Belzer Rebbe was mad at this fellow. He wouldn't talk to him, came out the whole Rosh Hashanah. And this Yid realized he did something wrong. He realized he spoke ill of Klal Yisrael. He mocked, he made fun of, he took a dig on Klal Yisrael. So he realized he needs to be misakin. So he comes over from Kippur to the Belzer Rebbe, and he tells the Belzer Rebbe, "I want you to know, I tried to hitch a taxi to come to see you. And every taxi that stopped to me said, 'I'm sorry, I can't take you to your destination because it's too far, and I want to fast on this Yom Kippur, and it's going to interfere with my fasting.'" The Belzer Rebbe was so happy. Why? Because he spoke positively of Jews. It's so easy to speak negatively of Jews. It's so easy to bash. It's so easy to make fun of all our problems. You know, people come over to me and say, "You know, the way Klal Yisrael is behaving, Mashiach is never going to come." That doesn't do us any good. That does not help anything. All that does is it's to continuing the cycle of what I call anti-Semitism. That's not what Hashem wants us to be doing now. He doesn't want us to be pointing at all the flaws in Klal Yisrael. He wants us to be pointing all the good of Klal Yisrael. Look how beautiful Klal Yisrael is. That Klal Yisrael is trying to accommodate so many different people with tents and indoor minyanim and outdoor minyanim and yes mask, no mask. Whether you agree or disagree is irrelevant. But look at it in the positive. Look what Klal Yisrael is trying to bend over backwards for people. How many people are going to be going around Rosh Hashanah trying to blow shofar for those people that are not able to come to shul? Why don't we look at the good? Instead of focusing on all the negative that we have, and I'm not saying there isn't, I'm not living in a bubble, I get it, we have problems, but that's not what we need to focus on all day long. We don't need to focus on our shortcomings, just like we don't focus on our shortcomings all day long. We don't spend the whole day walking around saying, "I'm wrong with this, I'm bad at this." We look at the good that we do. Why can't we do that for Klal Yisrael? And I think that's what Hashem wants of us this time of the year. He wants of us to be more compassionate, be more giving, be more loving. That's called living the Gimel Midos. That's what Hashem wants us to do during this time. Not to say the Gimel Midos, then leave shul and be a real peace to the next guy you meet on the street. No, that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants you to live the Yud Gimel Midos. Live a lifestyle like Hashem's Yud Gimel Midos. Be compassionate, be caring, be giving, be loving. Be easygoing. And that's, I believe, the way we're going to get, amidst Hashem, a good Kibben Shiur for ourselves and for our families. Okay, but he says, just from scheduling purposes, this Tuesday night, Mr. Hashem will have our regular halacha shir about what to know when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. Obviously, next Sunday we will not be having halacha shir because it will a Gemara shir because it will be Mir Hashem's second day of Rosh Hashanah. But the following Sunday, which is Erev Yom Kippur, if it's okay with everyone, I would like to have a shir. I don't know if it works into everyone's schedule, but I would like to try to get something around 9:15, and I would like to talk about the lumdis behind going to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. So if it's negay, if anyone is available or some people are available, so let's tentatively try to have a shiur next Sunday morning on that topic, the lumdus behind it. And again, it might be a little bit connected this year to if people aren't going, they're going to go Tisha B'av in the shower, but more the lumdus of why we go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. Okay, that's just some of the background behind the scheduling. And then I think that week we'll also probably have the halacha shiur maybe Wednesday instead of Tuesday. And I'm still trying to figure out if we're going to have a shiur on Cholamoid Sukkis, maybe one of the mornings of Cholamoid. Again, I don't know how many people are back to work or not back to work, but it's another job for Michael to be busy with. Michael, if you're listening, I just gave you another job to figure out what we're doing, if people will be interested in something on a Cholamoid one of the mornings. Okay, today's topic is a very geshmaka topic. Today we're going to be discussing about what happens when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. And I mean, with regard to specifically the Tekiah Shofar.
Rabbi,
yes, David. Esther Sarabas, Chaya Pesel. Yes, today's learning should be for Zchus, Refu Shalem, Esther Sarabas.
Chaya
Pesel, Besorich, Sha'ar Chalei Yisrael. Okay, so we all know by now that we're not blowing Shofar the first day of Rosh Hashanah, but what I want to discuss today is perhaps a different perception, is what's the idea behind not blowing the Shofar? Meaning, what's the real lumdus behind not having Shofar this upcoming Rosh Hashanah? So let's start off with the Gemara, the first Mishnah. This is happens to be the opening Mishnah. I apologize if the Marim Kermis are a little smaller. I don't know why it came out that way on my printer. Again, I apologize if it's a strain on your eyes. Please forgive me as we go into the Nerayim. I don't need something else on my tab for affecting people's lives. Okay, so the first Mishnah, the opening Mishnah, the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah starts off like this. Like the Mishnah, Yom Tov Shor Rosh Hashanah Shechalis B'Shabbos. The Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. B'Mikdash, in the Mikdash, which we'll just translate for today to mean the Beis HaMikdash, how you take him, they would blow the Shofar. Avaloi b'medina, but they wouldn't blow it outside the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah says very clearly, an interesting distinction. On Rosh Hashanah, that fell on Shabbos, so it depends where you lived. If you lived in the Beis HaMikdash, if you were in the Beis HaMikdash, then you blew Shofar on Shabbos as well. If you lived Bigvulin, which again, Macholikis B'Shainim, but just for today, we'll assume it means outside the Beis HaMikdash, even in Yerushalayim proper, they didn't blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Shechalis B'Shabbos. That's the Mishnah. So what we see from the Mishnah is two very important ideas. We see there's something wrong with blowing Shofar on Shabbos, and we also see there's a distinction between being in the Beis HaMikdash and being outside the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara asks the Kasha Menani Mili, how do you know, Kipshutai, how do you know the difference between the Mikdash and the Gvulin, and how do you know that there's no Shofar in the Gvulin? Omer Reb Levi, Barchama, Omer Reb Chama, Barchanino, Kosev Echot, because there's really a stirim psukim. It says in the Torah, Shabbosain Zicharin Chua. It says it's a remembrance of the Chua. Shabbos in Zichrein Chua. It means you're supposed to remember the Chua. Doesn't say anything about actually blowing the Chua. It says remember the Chua. Because of Echraim, there's another pasuk that says, Yoim Chua Yelechem. It's a day of actual blowing. So it's a stirim sukkim. Do you blow the Shofar or do you remember the Shofar? So the Gemara says, like Kasha, it's not a Kasha. Kam Yom Tov Shechalis B'Shabbos depends. If Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, then you don't blow it, you just remember it. Kam Yom Tov Shechalis B'Shabbos, but if Yom Tov falls out on Chos, then you actually blow it. So it seems like from this point of the Gemara thinks that the idea of not blowing Shofar on Shabbos is derived from the Pesukim. I have a steer in two Pesukim. One Pesuk says to blow Shofar. One Pesuk says to remember the Shofar. So how do I resolve this conflict? So the Gemara says very simply, the way you resolve it is that one's talking about on Shabbos you don't blow, and one's talking about Chol when you do blow. So Frank, the Gemara, Amar Rava, one second, Imi Deraisa, if it's taka true that blowing Shofar on Shabbos is some form of a Torah Isser, B'mikdash Hechi Takinam. So why are you allowed to blow in the Mikdash? Meaning, what's takap shat in the Torah that the Torah would allow you to do an Avera or something along those ways only in the Mikdash? V'oid halach malachi. Fred Gemar, it's also not true. There can't be anything d'oraisa wrong with Shofar to which the Torah said you can't do on Shabbos. Why? The Itzach kol muta and he apostle to exclude it. At the time, you lived in a Braisa, to be Shmuel. It says in the Torah, all malacha you should not do. Yotasa, this excludes tekiya shofar, this excludes blowing a shofar. Ura diyasapas, taking the bread out of the oven. Shehi chachma, vein malacha. Right? There's no iser deraisa to blow a shofar. So, Frank the Gemara, how can it be that I need a pasuk to tell me that I'm not allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, on Shabbos? What's wrong with it? And secondly, says the Gemara, if it's taka so wrong, why is it okay in the Mikdash? Meaning at this point, the Gemara is assuming it's some form of an iser deraisa, the Torah is getting involved, and the Torah is saying that there's something fundamentally wrong with shofar on Shabbos, but for some reason it's mutter in the Mikdash. So the Gemara has two questions. What's fundamentally wrong with shofar on Shabbos? What can it possibly be? It's not any melacha deraisa. And secondly, if it's so bad, why is it allowed in the Mikdash? So the Gemara answers, Elo merova mideraisa mishra shari. Avada, shofar, as far as the Torah is concerned, there's nothing wrong with blowing it during the week, on Shabbos, even outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Rabbanon, who did Gazer Bay? The Rabbanon were the ones who stepped in and prohibited Shofar. Why? Kid the Rabba, like Rabba, Dama Rabba, Hakol Chayav Bitkir Shofar. Everyone has to hear Shofar. They not called Bikin, and not everyone is an expert on how to blow Bitkir Shofar. So Gzeir Shema Yitloy Biyada, we're afraid maybe he'll take it in his hand. We're afraid that this guy has to blow Shofar now for his entire family, or he has to blow for himself, and he has no idea how to blow Shofar. So what's he going to do? He's going to go to his friend's house. His friend's going to teach him how to blow. Someone just told me that he taught his friend how to blow this year over a Zoom. This year, there's a shortage of Bali Tekias this year because there's so many additional minyanim. So some guy just told me he taught his friend how to blow Shofar over Zoom in a half an hour. Okay. So the Gemara says, we're always afraid that someone's going to need to run to learn how to blow Shofar. So this guy is not going to do it before Yom Tov. He's going to wake up on Rosh Hashanah morning and realize, I don't know how to blow Shofar. And what are we afraid of? He's then going to transfer this shofar for Amos in a public domain. That's why you're not allowed to shake luv on the first day. And that's why you're not allowed to read a Megillah. So again, we can really give a whole shiur on the whole Gzeirah deRabbah, what exactly is Rabbah's issue. We've touched upon it throughout the years. We touched upon it when we learned about Elazar the Meal a little bit. That's not for today's shiur. What we need for today's shiur is this Gemara. What does the Gemara come out? The Gemara says very clearly that midderaisa, there's nothing wrong with blowing a shofar on Shabbos. And midderaisa, you should blow shofar on Shabbos. So why are we not going to blow shofar on the Shabbos? Because the Rabbanim made Gzeirah. They were afraid if we're going to have regular shofar on Shabbos, maybe someone will take the shofar, carry it Dal Ramis, and it'll be a violation of the Isser of Havaris Dal Ramis, and therefore the Rabbanim pulled the plug. They said, no shofar. That's the end of the Gemara. Now, for those of you that are learning Erevin, this is very gishmak, because the Gemara assumes that most of the streets were Rishas HaRabim. Right? If you assume that most of the streets were Rishas HaRabim, so then you have Xerish, and you have Rena, Dal Ramis, Rishas HaRabim. But if you understand that many of our communities are not really Rishas HaRabims, which is why you're able to have an Erevin in the first place, putting aside all the different shitas, Rashi, Shishim Riboy, not Shishim Riboy, just a Pasha Ta'ara, in the times of the Gemara, it must have been that many of their streets had a din of Rishas HaRabim. Because if think about it in the terms of our communities. Almost most of our communities where Frum Yidden live today have Erevin. Brooklyn doesn't. Parts of Lakewood doesn't. Queens has, Muncie has, Passaic has, Five Towns has, So Yesh Lodom, what would have happened is Man Azef. Chazal lived today in our communities where they have still made this Gzeirah. What's the Gzeirah? So many of our communities have very functioning Eruvin because we don't have Rishas Rabbim's there, Raisa. So then is there even room for the Gzeirah? So Mefarshim want to point out, you see from this, that in the times of the Gemara, most of the streets were Taka Rishas Rabbim their Raisas. They Taka were not Carmelises like we have today, which again, for those of you that are learning Eruvin, it's an interesting thing to keep in mind that in the times of the Gemara, at least in some of the streets, they Taka were not Rishas Rabbim's their Raisa. Maybe one day we'll talk about something I would like to get into now that everyone's learning Erevin. We could talk about all the big communities that had Erevin. The famous Paris Erevin and the Warsaw Erevin and maybe the Brooklyn Erevin and other communities. But you just have to ask yourselves if they were makbid for Shishim Riboy, whether or not these communities had Shishim Riboy, they didn't have Shishim Riboy, but whatever the case is, you see from this Gemara that there was Rishas Rabbim's Deraisas and therefore they were guys. Fine. So what is important from this Gemara is that the only reason we don't blow Shofar is because of Gzeirah deRabbah. Now the problem we're going to have now is shouldn't we be left with the kasha, so why is it okay in the Mikdash? Okay, so why is it okay in the Beis Mikdash? That was one of the Gemara's kasha. So Rashi says, I didn't put it on the paper. Rashi says, because we have a rule, ein shvus b'mikdash. We have a rule, there's no durabonis in the Beis Mikdash. So frektet turi evin, that's not true. Ein shvus b'mikdash doesn't mean you can break every durabon in the Beis Mikdash. Ein shvus b'mikdash means the durabonis that pertain to services in the Beis Mikdash are waived. We don't just say there's a free-for-all, do whatever you want in the Beis Mikdash. And one of the rais that they bring is that you're not allowed to shake, you're not allowed to take the lulav the first day in the Beis HaMikdash. I ain't shvus b'mikdash. Ain't shvus b'mikdash doesn't mean we waive all the rabbanans in the Beis HaMikdash. It just means we waive those the rabbanans that are relevant to the avoidas Beis HaMikdash. Shofar is not a din in the Mikdash. Shofar is a din in Shofar. So the Turi Evin asks, what does it mean over here that you're going to say ain't shvus b'mikdash? So the truth is the Me'iri, again, I didn't put it down on the sheet. I want to leave you guys with something now on the paper. The Me'iri has an interesting lashon. He says, Ein chshash shichcha b'mikdash. The Me'iri learns, you know why there's no gzeirah deRabbah in the Beis HaMikdash? Because everyone has such a heightened awareness in the Beis HaMikdash. The whole gzeirah deRabbah is based on the premise that you'll forget. Zog the Me'iri, ein shichcha b'Beis HaMikdash. You have such a heightened awareness of Kedusha, we're not choshish that you're going to forget and actually, by mistake, bring the shofar out of the Beis HaMikdash to go learn how to blow. But the Birkas Avram...
Rabbi, on a normal day, when it's not Shabbos, who blew in the Beis HaMikdash?
The regular shofar of Rosh Hashanah, probably anyone.
So you could go and bring your own shofar and blow.
So that's what I was about to get to. So the Birkas Avram of Eglah clears the shaila. He says, 1 second. If there was a time in history when the Beis HaMikdash used to blow shofar on Shabbos, maybe all the Jews should be mechuyev to go to the Beis HaMikdash to hear shofar on Shabbos. Meaning I live outside, I don't live in the Beis HaMikdash. I live in Yerushalayim, but not in the Beis HaMikdash, right? I was going to have a minion in Yerushalayim. But maybe now, because in the Beis HaMikdash they're going to blow shofar on Shabbos, I should be mechuyev to travel to daven in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Birkas Avram Zechayla, the Avram Elger, Klaes V'chakira. Maybe we should all be mechuyev, whoever lived nearby the Beis HaMikdash, should be mechuyev to travel on Rosh Hashanah Shecholis B'Shabbos, to be in the Beis HaMikdash so they can hear shofar. I have a Torah because I'm living outside the Beis HaMikdash and I have Gzeirah deRabbah. But in the Beis HaMikdash there's no Gzeirah deRabbah. So maybe I should be mechuyev to travel so I should be able to hear the shofar. He clears it for a chakira. Now again, it's an interesting chakira because it's based on the premise that I have to go travel to do a mitzvah. Or you look at Bashar Rishon. In the matzav that I'm in right now, I have no mitzvah. Maybe I'm not mechuyev to go find the mitzvah to do. I'm mechuyev, you know, right now I'm sitting in my house in Yerushalayim, I'm not allowed to hear shofar. I'm not mechuyev to hear shofar maybe. Now, am I mechuyev to go to be able to make myself into a bar chiyuvah? That's a shayla. That's a question. But that's the Birkas Avram's chakira. Now, the problem in the Gemara is now we should have a stirim sukkim. The Felis Gemara, in the Maskanas HaGemara, it's all Gzeira de Rabba. So then how do we resolve why one Pasuk says Zichar in Chua and one Pasuk says Yom Chua? You'll notice in the davening, on Shabbos, we're going to say those words. We're going to say Yom Zichar in Chua. So Frek the Achrayim, the Turi Evin asks his Kasha, that after all the smoke clears, and now we go back to it being Gzeira de Rabba, so now we have to ask ourselves a question. So why does the Torah write in one place Zichar in Chua, and one place the Torah writes Yom Chua? Bishlam in the Havamin of the Gemara, we understood one Pasuk was telling us Shabbos and one Pasuk was telling us Chol. But now you tell me that's not true. So now why Taka is it that one Pasuk says Zichar and one Pasuk says Chua? So the Turi Evin number 2 addresses this question. He writes, Koshali!
Disconnected myself by mistake, so I was off for 2 minutes, but yeah. I wanted to ask a question before on the Me'iri. Why does he say more Pashut? What that you're not going to forget? Or if you're going to ask someone in the base of Mikdash, you're not going to have to walk outside. You're in the base of Mikdash. There's going to be all the Gedolim, the whole world is there, and so there's no Shachat. You're going to walk outside of the base of Mikdash to ask anybody about the Shofar. You don't know how to blow it. The people are over there. It's not like...
I was thinking that as the words came out of my mouth, I was thinking to myself that maybe that. I was mamash thinking that svar when I just, as the words came out of my mouth, I said to myself, why don't we just say pashut? Because you are, you know, the Beis HaMikdash was where all the knowers are there. The truth is, we'll see them.
Every bucky is there.
Right. So the truth is, we'll see in a second, we'll see in a Rambam that there's another way to learn Gzeira de Rabba, which would not help being in the Beis HaMikdash, but also wouldn't help for the Me'iri. So just, it's a good ha'ara. I don't have a good answer, but we'll see in a Rambam that might make things a little bit more complicated. But it's a good ha'ara to say it like that, that maybe there's no, again, it could be that, you know, something like Shofar for Keret. Maybe, you could answer something like Shofar. It's not always about halacha. It might also be, you know, style and technique, which Lav Dafka, the Beis HaMikdash, is necessarily the guy that has the best technique, knows how to move it this way, that way. Okay, but it's a good ha'ara. I'm not going to be little.
Home to the base of
Okay, good.
To teach. Why is that different than going to his house?
What do you mean? Why are we not? Why are you going to transfer a shus?
Why isn't that the same problem?
No, in the base of Mekdash itself, it's one big rishus ayachid.
I know, but if you got to go from your house, if the chashash was that I don't know how to blow, so I'm going to go to my neighbor.
Right.
And he's going to teach me.
Right.
On Shabbos.
Right.
So I'm home. I need to hear shofar. I said, okay, all the Bekiyim are in the base of Mikdash. I'm going to walk to the base of Mikdash.
No. So the din of...
My house is West Jerusalem. I'm carrying.
Right. So the case means you're already in the Mikdash. When you're in the Mikdash, and the Shofar's in the Mikdash, then you can blow. That's what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah means if you are already in the Beis HaMikdash and you have the Shofar already in the Mikdash, then you can blow. But of course, I would not be allowed to carry from my house to the Beis HaMikdash or from my house to someone else's house. Now again, we're not getting into the obvious kasha. Why do you have to talk Dalai Lamas? Why don't you just say Moitzi Mishus L'Rishus? I pick up the Shofar in my house, I walk across the street to the rabbi's house. That's not Dalai Lamas. That's called Moitzi Mishus L'Rishus. Again, Ayin Taisvis, Taisvis Rosh Hashanah talks about it. We dabbled in it, but I don't want to get into it this week because I have... What they say, bigger fish to fry this week. So, Frank the Turi Evin.
What is the nature of shofar in the base of Mikdash? Is that a miss on the yachid or is that a miss on the tibur?
I would assume it's the same shofar that you have outside the Mikdash. It just happens to be done in the base of Mikdash, to which the kasha ain't supposed to be Mikdash is a very strong kasha. And if there's nothing significantly different about the shofar in the base of Mikdash, it's just that's where they're located, right. So then there's no reason to say ain't supposed to be Mikdash.
Because you could say if it's a miss on the tibur, that would explain why you don't have Gzeira de Rabba. But how could we have said Gzeira de Rabba by Kriyas HaTorah?
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll touch upon that. The famous Kasha of Kivega's Raya, why is there no Gzeira de Rabba on the five Megillas? I think we talked about this in the past. Yeah, we had a share on this last Shavuos. Why is there no, two Shavuos ago, why is there no Gzeira de Rabba on the Chamish Megillas? So if Kivega wants to bring a Raya because it's Taka Chayvah Sibur, and if it's a Chayvah Sibur, there's no Gzeira de Rabba on Chayvah Sibur. We throughout the years, I think we've touched upon different places how to learn Gzeira de Rabba. But yeah, it's a good aura about how to understand Gzeira de Rabba. So the Turi Evin over here, number 2, The Turi Evan points out, he says, Koshali, ma rum yedikra. What's really the whole big stira? Dil matarti ka makra. Affected Turi Evan, what's the Gemara's trouble that there's a stira in two psukim? One pasuk says it's a shabbos and it's a remembrance of the chua. And one pasuk says it is the chua. It's not a kasha. It's both. Affected Turi Evan, Mike rum yedikra. Dil matarti ka makra. It's both. First, he's supposed to blow the shayfer and he's supposed to say psukim also. What's the big deal? So the Yeshua Mary answers, no. The imkin dechtav rachman is zichroin chua. The Torah could have just said zichroin chua v'yoyim chua bechaduch. They could have said it in one place. Ma'ishno de palginu rachmanu because of the zichroin chua beparshat emor. Why did the Torah write them in two different places? Oh, so Shema Mino says the Torah, and that must be zman shalze ainu kizman shalze zichroin chua bechol b'shabbos v'yom chua bechol bechol bechal. So Zok the Torah Evan, the fact that the Torah writes these two psukim is not the problem. The fact that the Torah writes these two psukim in two different places is the problem. If the Torah would have wrote these two psukim in the same parsha, so then I would say the Torah wants you to do both. But now, Zok, the Torah, that the Torah writes them in two different places, that's strange. That's abnormal. It sounds like the Torah is saying when you do X, you don't do Y. When you do Y, you don't do X. There is a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi learns not like our Gemara. The Yerushalmi learns that at the end of the day, the reason why we blow shofar in the Mikdash is midaraisa based on a pasuk. And the reason why we don't blow outside the Mikdash is based on a pasuk as well. That's the Shita of the Yerushalmi, not like our Bavli. Okay. There's a Rambam over here, which we need to see. Again, we really need to see it a lot, but I'm watching the clock and I'm seeing that it's never on my side, so we're going to try to go through it a little quickly. The Rambam writes in number 3 the following. This is the Rambam Hilchos Shofar Perek Beis Halacha Vav. Zok the Rambam. Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yis B'Shabbos. If Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, ain't toikim b'shofar b'chol mokim. We don't blow shofar anywhere. Even though blowing a shofar would only be theoretically in a siddur rabbanon, and theoretically we should have been able to blow. Why? Because Yava Yasei Shel Toyer V'Yidcha Shvos Shel Devreim. So the Rambam, because of the principle of Asei Dechalois Asei. Aha, you thought we were done with Asei Dechalois Asei. Oh, it comes back again, like the Rambam. You would have thought that even though blowing a shofar is in a siddur rabbanon, some form of a rabbanon, and therefore, I would be allowed to blow it on Shabbos because of the banner of Asei Dechalo Yisasei. Zok the Rambam. So why not? V'loma ain't toikin. So taka, why not? Zok the Rambam. Because Gzera Hashem yitlenu biyodi. Maybe you'll take it. V'yolichenu and you'll go l'mi sheyitoka aloi. Someone you can blow for. V'yavirenu arba amis b'shis rabbi. So what the Rambam just said? He had a different understanding of Gzera the Rambam. He didn't learn you're going to go learn by somebody. You're going to go blow for somebody. Which is so true today, right? You have a guy, Nebuch, who's in a hospital, he's in an apartment somewhere, he's by himself, he's quarantined, so I'm going to grab my shofar and go out to blow for him. So the Rambam learned, Xavier the Rabbah wasn't the pshat, you're going to go to a baki to teach you. Xavier the Rabbah, the pshat, you're going to go blow for someone. You're going to go help him. You're going to try to do him a favor. And then you'll be mighty dalaramas. Or your tzir, and shes Rambam, Rambam has both pshatim. Maybe you'll be married by Avram versus Rabbim. Or your tzir, and shes Rashus. Or you'll be mighty, and shes Rashus. V'yavol Shakol chayov mitkin vein akol bikiyin l'tkayir. Zok the Rambam, because everyone has to hear it, and not everyone knows how to do it. So according to the Rambam, what's the pshat in Gzeirah d'Rabbo? Gzeirah d'Rabbo is the pshat that I'm going to try to go to help you out. I'm trying to do you a favor. And since I'm going to go try to do you a favor, that's when I'm going to be caught up in the violation. So the lechem...
How would this be asei dochalos asei? It's not at the same time.
Oh, okay, good. So that's a little bit what the Lechem Mishnah deals with over here, number 4, and the Birkas of Rambam, number 5, which, now that I'm watching the clock, I think I'm just going to touch on maybe outside. So the Lechem Mishnah has a kasha on the Rambam. His first kasha on the Rambam is first of all, it's not Asei Decheloi Sasei. It's Asei Decheloi Sasei V'Asei. Yom Tif is not just a Loi Sasei. Yom Tif is an Asei also. So and that's the Rambam Shita. So, in fact, the Lechem Mishnah, even if you want to try to be lomdish and tell me that shofar should beat out because of Asei Dechaloi Sasei, in fact, the Lechem Mishnah, it's not true. Because Yom Tov happens to be an Asei, shofar is an Asei, but Yom Tov is a Loi Sasei Ve'Asei. It's both. Again, both rabbinic, but they're both Loi Sasei Ve'Asei. So, in fact, the Lechem Mishnah and the Rambam, even if you're going to try to go that route of Asei Dechaloi Sasei, you're still going to hit a wall. Because it's not true, because it's going to be Asei Dechaloi Sasei Ve'Asei. And the truth is
but it's not the Dechaloi Sasei, it's only Drabbanah.
Yes,
but this Rabbanan is directly against this blowing. It's not like a random.
Okay, good.
That's what it is directing to this thing. Don't do this mitzvah. So that's exactly what they do.
So the Lechem Mishnah's kasha. Elliot, you're 100% right. The Lechem Mishnah's kasha is based on another Rambam, where the Rambam talks about that you're not allowed to violate an issa de Rabbanan to get a shofar. You're not allowed to climb up a tree. You're not allowed to be reichav al behema. Why is that the Rambam? Because ain't I say dechaloi sasei vasei. So the Lecha Mishnah starts to draw distinctions between whether or not the violation is in the actual Maisa HaShofer, or the violation is in the Dovet Stadi, a secondary thing. That's part of what this Lecha Mishnah discusses over here. Now, the other kind...
How is this a Maisa HaShofer again? It's only Darabana.
It's a Maisa HaShofer, Darabana, and Achram.
That's not... That's
what
you call a loisa. You can say
Esa,
never
loisa. Yes. No. The Rambam writes that you're not allowed to ride. You're not allowed to go up a horse. You're not allowed to go up a tree to get a shofar because you're not allowed to. It's an iser. Why? So I say the chaloisa. I say the Rambam. And I say the chaloisa. Say va. I say that's what the Rambam writes. That's the Lecha Mishnah quoting the Rambam. Now the question is, if it's tak, I say the chaloisa. Say so. Why is it not doicha the loisa? I say of gzera shemi avirenu. Meaning, if Shofar is so stark that it's an assay, so let the assay be doicha the Shemi Yavirenu also.
No, that's the Rabbana. That's the whole point.
No.
We're trying to prevent you from doing an Isser. So we said, there's Shemi Yavirenu. The question is, why is Shemi Yavirenu an Isser if it's assay doicha losa?
Right. Okay, that's what I mean to say. I mean to say that once you're going to get into the assay doicha losa, say world, so let assay doicha losa say beat out everything, Shemi Yavirenu as well. I mean, worst case scenario, so what? Again, the answer might be it's not Be'idna. Okay, I just wanted to mention this Rambam, just for the fun of it, just to make things a little bit more lively. But the real sugya today is the following Shaila. This is the big sugya, right? Machlokes Reb Kveger and the Chelkas Yoyev Rabbi Weingarten. The Shaila is like this. Now that Chazal pulled the mitzvah of Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, Yesh Lachkar. If I get up this Shabbos morning and I blow 100 kelos, do I get schar for doing a mitzvah, along with a patch for violating the Rabbanan? Or I got absolutely zero? Because once the Rabbanan said don't do it, now the mitzvah becomes batal umavotal. This is the major hakira on the sugya. Once we have gzeirah, again, this is true by lulav, it's true by shofar, it's true by all these things. Once Chazal pulled the mitzvah because of their concern or their issues, does that now mean that even if I were to try to do the mitzvah, I would get absolutely no credit because the mitzvah is done? Or the pshat is done. The mitzvah is the mitzvah. Chazal can't rewrite the Torah. But Chazal can tell you what you can and can't do. So if you decide to break Chazal, so then you'll get in trouble for breaking Chazal, but you technically reach the goal of the Kiyamat Torah. This is the famous
Chakir. But we just learned you don't have to blow the shofar on Shabbos. It's Zichron Teruah.
No. That was only the first pshat in the Gemara. The second shot in the Gemara is, no, really, you should blow the shofar. We're only not doing it because the rabbis don't let us. So let's say I don't listen to the rabbis. I mean, according to the second shot in the Gemara, Hashem, technically, whatever that means, wants you to blow the shofar. But he also wants you to listen to the rabbis. So how did I balance those two things? If I break one, am I still getting the other? So there's a famous Rabbi Kiveger. Everyone talks about this Rabbi Kiveger. Oh, you know, before Rabbi Kiveger, I'm sorry. If you just quickly take a peek at number 5b. 5b is a shtickle chazar for us. Right? 5b is a taz, it's a metovkov pehe. It's a chazar for us because we talked about some of these sugars. Just very quickly. Frakta taz. The hiksha hamizrochi. Biyomtav nami nigzer shemi takin klisha. Frakta mizrochi, a very simple kasha. If I'm not allowed to blow a shayfer because I'm afraid you may come to take it outside Dalan Amis, why am I not allowed? Let's go back a step. What's wrong with blowing shayfer at any time? Why can't I blow shofar on a Tuesday? Why can't I blow trumpet on a Shabbos? Because it's gzeirah shemi takin klisha. We're afraid it may break. You'll fix it, and that'll be a violation of makkah bepatish. So frekta mizrachi, I don't get it. You should never be allowed to blow shofar on Yom Tov. Why? Because what happens if you're in shul and you're starting to go do, and you see there's a crack? So you'll fix the crack. You would just over nisa deraisa. If Chazal were so concerned lest be an over nisa deraisa, so how can you ever blow shofar? Every sounding of a shofar has an inner nisid rabbanon. We wave it for the Yom Tov. So frek the Mizrachi, so why don't we wave it on Shabbos just like we wave it on a Tuesday? Meaning the kasha is that every shofar sound is really, every time you sound the shofar, you're really being over nisid rabbanon. Maybe you'll break and you'll come to fix it. Why is that maybe any different than maybe you'll carry it on Shabbos? There we close
maybe
it down.
Maybe just like in the Beis Hamikdash, you know, it's because there's enough people, you're in a rabbin, that somebody will remind you. If you want to start to fix it, somebody say, hey, what are you doing? You're being mechalal
Shabbos. You don't have to blow shofar b'tzibur, you can blow shofar by yourself. You blow shofar by yourself, and no one's going to remind you, and then you're going to be stuck. That's the Mizrahi's kashin. So he writes like this, the Taz quotes, he says like this, well, in his diet in Ira, the kol ha-shofar le'nit on the shir. He says, because really, if you think about it, the purpose of the shofar is not for music. Elot kiya shal mitzvah. Meaning it's a shtickle funny kasha, because I would have argued that hagufa, Meaning, since the purpose of the shofar is not really to produce a sound, and not really to produce music, it's really to be used for a mitzvah. Hagufa, I'd be even more motivated to want to fix it if it breaks, because I need to use it for the mitzvah. He's trying to explain to us why there's no motivation to fix it because it's not really a musical instrument. I would say the contrary. Because I need this for the mitzvah, I'm going to be so stressed until I fix it. But that's his first answer.
There is a swear in the Gemara about why you can't burn Tumeah on Shabbos, because you may, one of the swears is because you may, because the mitzvah, you may come to accelerate.
Right. I would have thought the other way. But then listen to the next answer. V'oid nira. The Taurus, the Ein Lahem Ligzor V'la'akol Agami Dvar Teirish at Sivsa L'tkoyeb Yom Zeh. This is a very famous Taz. The Taz says, the Chazal can't uproot a mitzvah. We've spoken about this in the past, that Chazal cannot make a gzeira that will rip out a part of the Torah. If Chazal would say that you can't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah because Shem Yitak and Klishir, they're basically taking the Torah and ripping it up. They're taking out a mitzvah of the Torah. They have no power to do that. They're doing it on Shabbos. So Bishlam of Shabbos Lo Misakol Gamri. Says this is a very famous taz. We've spoken about this many times. It's one of those tazes you have to remember. Whenever you come across Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, the Rabbanan can make Gzeirah if that Gzeirah will cause something in the Torah to be absolutely bottle forever. Something that will never, if something of the Torah would become void forever, they can't do that. So if the Rabbanan would have been Gzeirah, you can't blow Shofar because Shem Yitak and Klishir, we would never have.
Didn't they do that with Yibam? Didn't they do that with Yibam? They said we should only do Chalitza. There's no Yibam anymore.
Well, because
we're not right to do Yibam, and so we do Chalitza.
Well, because there, perhaps there were two options, Yibam or Chalitza. Here, if they tell you can't blow Shofar because Shem Yitak and Klishir, we are never going to have any form of mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. So there
you'd have Zichron Tula.
Yeah, but that's not the mitzvah. That's a different mitzvah. Yeah, again, Yibam Chalitza, we have to talk about it, how to explain that. But Zokta Taz, that's why they can't do that. And he says, Chazal put fences around the Torah. They never uprooted the Torah. They have no right to uproot something. They can try to guard something, but to tell you not to do something, that they have no power. And then he says, the famous kasha, why is it no Shem Yavirenu by a bris? Why aren't we afraid that you're going to take the baby, bring the baby to the mall across the street? So everyone gives all these different answers. Says the Taz, Zok the Taz, you know what the answer is? Because it says in the Torah, if Chazal would come and then say, no, you can't, they'd be going against the Torah. Chazal can never make any gzeira the Rabbanan against something explicitly written in the Torah. Now,
maybe that's why the Gemara had to look for a pasuk to justify.
Oh, very geschmack. That's why the Gemara didn't first jump to gzeira the Rabbanan. They might want to try to work it into the Torah. Because the Torah can't, the Rabbanan can't just like that uproot things from the Torah. Now, this Taz is important because there are certain areas where there's kashas on this Taz of different halachas where it seems like they just completely uprooted something. But this is the Taz's yisoid. To differentiate between every Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah Shecholeis B'Shabbos is this idea. If they tell you you can never blow shofar, so they're basically erasing one of the mitzvahs. If they tell you you can't blow shofar this year, so they're not erasing the mitzvah, but they're limiting the mitzvah. Okay. So back to Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So back to the Chakira at hand. The Chakira at hand is there a mitzvah even after the Rabbanon, or there's no mitzvah? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger has a line over here, number 6, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger in his Marachas, he writes like this. He's talking about a Magen Avraham, which is not for us for today. He writes like this. Okay, fine. The Gam b'shoifer ikar chinuch mitzvah, the b'tkiyosei mikai mitzvah d'shoifer. The Gam Godel shetoka b'shabbos, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, if a Godel would blow a shoifer on Shabbos, Kayim mitzvahs shofar bizmanay gam b'shabbos. He would fulfill the mitzvah of shofar on Shabbos. Elo da'over al shvus to Shabbos. He'll get an issur for being over the Rabbanon. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says it black and white. If a guy gets up this Shabbos morning and blows 30 kailas, he will get a check in Shemayim for being mekayim the mitzvahs asay the rice of tkiyah shofar. He'll then in return get a hit. Sorry?
This is different than mitzvah
avodah aveira,
or is it the same
concept? So, Achrayin talk about, do we apply the rule of the Gemara in Tmura that i'ovid loy mahani? Meaning, over here, i'ovid loy mahani might not help, because even if we say that the shofar doesn't count, he still blew a sound of, he'd still be over there, said the Rabbanon, of Shmias Koil. But we'll leave off for now. But this is a gevaldige chiddush Rebbe Akiva Eiger. Rebbe Akiva Eiger writes that he thinks In such a scenario, if a guy gets, it's amazing, a guy gets up this Shabbos morning, he blows 30 kailas, he was probably for the rice, he only need 9 kailas, but whatever. Let's say he will just keep it 30. Again, pashtus, according to many, you only need 9 kailas to be yotze the mitzvah deraisa. That's machalikas b'shainim, but whatever. He be yotze the mitzvah deraisa. An unbelievable idea. Most of us would never thought like that. Most of us would have thought that once the rabbanan said no mitzvah, there's no mitzvah, go home, no credit. Says it be kiveger, black and white. It's actually not that way. Now, in Rishonim, there are major rayas in Rishonim to this chakira. I'm going to work today predominantly with two mahalchim that I saw in Achrayim. One is from Reb Tuvia Goldstein in his Sefer Eimek Halacha Chelik Aleph. I think it's Siman Nun Vav. For those many, if any, was new Reb Tuvia Goldstein, he was a gevaldik iloy, a huge Talmud Chacham. And I'm going to work a little bit with Reb Asher Weiss's mahalach in his Sefer Minchas Asher on the Mayadim. He obviously needs no introduction in this year. But I'm going to work with both of their mahalchim and the rayas that they bring from certain Rishonim. So the first raya that I think both Reb Tuvia and Reb Asher bring is from a Rashi in Brachas. The same Rashi is found in Yevamos Daf Tzadi. But let's look at Rashi. Rashi is going on the Gemara when the Gemara gives us this idea that Chazal have the power to be oiker a dinda raisa b'shev v'al tasim. They can never tell you to get up and do something actively against the Torah, but they can tell you to do something passively, what's called shev v'al tasim. Don't do something. I mean, they tell you, don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Don't take your lulav. So Zok Rashi, number 7. Devarim rabim hetiru, many things they permitted, la'akar devar teiru, to uproot the teiru, and they siog, because they thought it was a barrier, or they covered abrius, or out of respect for people. Hecha de'ene oiker dover b'maisi yedayim. That's because you're not actually uprooting it with your hands. El yoyshev b'mkaymai. You're passively sitting, and the Torah is by default being uprooted. Meaning Chazal are not telling you to take the Torah and completely disregard it. They're telling you to sit on your hands, don't blow shofar. And by sitting on your hands and not blowing shofar, you're not going to blow shofar. What's the raya? So says Reb Tuvia, what do you see from this Rashi? That Rashi seems to be telling you that they can't tell you to, they can't rip up, rewrite the Torah. They have no power to be at the Torah. The Torah says, blow shofar 7 days a week. What can they do? They can tell you, sit down and don't do it. But Taina Reb Tuvia, what do you mean? But if the Torah, if the Chazal have the right to make it that there is no mitzvah, so then the point is that there is no mitzvah. He says, you see from Rashi, it's not the pshat that there's no mitzvah. It's the pshat, but they can tell you not to do the mitzvah. But the mitzvah they can't touch. The mitzvah is untouchable. That they can't do. They don't have a kayach to affect the actual mitzvah. All they can do is tell you not to do the mitzvah. Again, I'm back and forth with whether or not it's so clear.
There's a Beferish Gemara against that. She also had recently in Daf Yomi with the seven tefachim, the seven tefach sukkah, b'chol b'sham beis hillel, and b'shai said, "Well, if this is what you did, lo kiyamtum."
Ah, very good. That's the next Ma'ar Makam. We're going to get to that today, Mr. Shem. Yeah, very good. Thank you. That's going to be the next couple of Ma'ar Makamis are going to discuss that famous how to learn that Gemara of Shaloi Kiyamta Mitzvah Sukkah Kol Yomecha. Yeah, we're going to get to that hopefully in a few minutes. So again, I'm not 100% sure that Rashi and Brachas are such a raya. I hear where they're saying it in Rashi. They're saying it in Rashi that Rashi's point is that the Rabbanan can't rewrite the Torah. Meaning, they can't rewrite the Torah to the point that there's no mitzvah. They could tell you not to do something, but the Torah is always going to be there, which means, Lo Yitzur, I would do the mitzvah, I would still get a check. That's the way that Chorin wanted to die from this Rashi.
But even within that, they're saying they can only be a Sheb Al Tasi on like a part of the mitzvah. That still codes what we said a few minutes ago.
With the Tas. Right.
That the whole mitzvah itself will never happen ever.
Right. You can still read this Rashi along with the Tas, 100%. That's one Raya that they bring to back up Reb Kiveger. Reb Tuvia Goldstein brings another Raya. The reason why I'm preempting it with Reb Tuvia Goldstein is I don't want anyone to think that I happen to know random Tosfos and Bechiris. I definitely do not. That's not anivus. That is the ultimate truth. But there's an interesting Gemara in Bechiris. The Gemara in Bechiris talks about the idea of having Bechor Behema Bezman Hazeh Meiser Behema in Chutzlarts. So the Mishnah says in Bechiris that really Midaraisa we have Meiser Behema even in Chutzlarts. So why don't we practically have Maisa Behem and Chutzlar? So the Gemara says it was Xerid Rabban. What was Xerid Rabban? So the Rashi explains we were afraid of what would happen because you don't have a way of being makrivit. So what are you going to do with it? It has to get a mum. And we were afraid that until it gets a mum, perhaps you would do something inappropriate with it. You wouldn't treat it properly. So Rabbanim pulled the din of Maisa Behema on Behemas and Chutzlar. So the question is, okay, but what happens if I take have an animal in the Chutz La'aretz that is Meiser. Is it Shaykh to have Kedushas Meiser Behemah? So Tosfos in Mechayris writes number 8, Meiser b'zman hazeh, Pirish b'pirkin, says Tosfos, Maskinun einer noig b'zman hazeh. The Gemara says there's no Meiser Behemah b'zman hazeh in Chutz La'aretz, Mishum takolo, mikom ogam. Im Iser, let's say I'm an Ibn Chocham. I take the 10th animal, I say, Harei zeh Meiser. Zog Tosfos, ha... Vim Isar Chal Olav Shem Meiser. Says Tyson Bukharis, even though Midir Rabbanan, there is no din of Meiser Behemah Chutz La'aretz, but if I decide to do it, I push the button and I go against the Rabbanan, Avada, this animal, as Kedushas Meiser Behemah. Says Ibn Tovi Goldstein, what do you mean? But if I thought when the Rabbanan pull a mitzvah, the mitzvah becomes now gone and destroyed, so even if you try, it doesn't work. Elamai, what do you see from Tosfos? Says Ibn Tovi, you see from this Tosfos that even after the Rabbanan prohibited something and the Torah permitted something, that thing stays. And if you do it incorrectly, it will still be chal, it will still have Tvisa's Kedusha. And
well, he said... Tosfos never said you get the mitzvah of Meiser. Tosfos said that Meiser is chal on it.
Ah, good. So it's one different. Of the things you could debate is between a mitzvah and a chalois. Again, a mitzvah is not a chalois. A mitzvah is a mitzvah. It's a check. This is a chalois. Now, obviously, a chalois is totally in whether or not HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be chal. I get it. But one could draw a distinction and say whether to do a mitzvah, Hashem says mitzvahs are what I want you to do and I want you to listen to the rabbis. But here, this is a status. Maybe you could pick up this status despite the fact that the Rabbanan didn't want you doing it. Again, there's room to perhaps disagree. And then he backs it up with the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Bechayrus.
I mean, we even have by Doraisas, like a Grusha to a coin.
Right. Again, that's why I might go back to the Sugya of Yavad Loi Mahani. So over here, Yavad Loi Mahani would be very good because if Chazal said that the Kedushas Meiser is not Chal, so then you talk a word over the Yisr. By Shofar, it's not the case, because even if Chazal said the Shofar is not Chal, I still sounded a sound, which itself is the Yisr, the Rabbanah. But the Rambam writes in Hilchos Bechayrus, Perek Vav, and this is also what Tovya writes, look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, Ava Chachomim Oysa La'asa Behema B'zman Hazeh, Chazal asked taking off Meiser today, V'tiknu the Yomisaka She'ema Asa, we don't take off Meiser, Elo B'fnei Abayi, Zeir Hashem Yochu Tomim, but if you did it, it has a din of meiser, and you have to treat it like meiser and eat it when it gets a mum. So Zogter Rambam, Zogter Tovya, you see from Tosfos, you see from the Rambam that they pass on like a kiveger. They hold that avada, just because the Rabbanan pulls something, it does not affect its status is still very much alive. That's one raya that he wants to bring from the Rishayim. Rabbi Shavais has another raya. His raya is from another Rambam. The Rambam, now keep in mind, Rabbi Yisai, that the raya that we have so far is from a Tosfos and Bechayrus, that Tosfos and Bechayrus seems to hold like a kiveg. The Rambam in Hilchos Shkogis, again, not one of my more popularly learned Rambams, the Rambam in Hilchos Shkogis writes like this, number 10. Kaloise mitzvah min ha-mitzvah subchas yosi nasis aveir. Let's say a person is doing a mitzvah, and in the middle of doing the mitzvah, he does an aveir. Shechayov in Hilchos Shkogis, karis bishkaga, something which if you do it accidentally, it carries the violation of Karis. Bishkoga harei ze potter mechatos. If you do it by mistake, you're potter from mechatos. Why? Nesha osa berishos. This is what we call to'o bedvar mitzvah. I'm trying to do a mitzvah, I'm doing a mitzvah, and I do an avera in the act. Ketzad, what's an example? Habal yivimto, I want to do the mitzvah of yibum, farehi nida. Punk, the girl, the yivum, happens to be a nida. Vihi lo yoda, vhu lo yoda, and I didn't know that. So I thought I was doing the mitzvah saseda reis of yibum. Little did I know, I'm being over curious of living with an eda. Zokter Rambam, I raise a potter mechatos, he's potter, shari also brishos. You acted completely in the right. You thought you were doing a mitzvah, but it turned out to be an avera, so we call that tov b'dvar mitzvah. Zokter Rambam, number 11, two halachas later. Hamoitzi es halola b'yom tevarishin shachak, shecholis b'shabbos. Let's say I wake up Sunday morning, Shabbos morning, and I take my lulav out. I'm ready to bring my lulav to shul. I take my lulav out, thinking that you're supposed to shake lulav. Kadei lot says ba ve'avir abba amis b'shus harabim b'shoygeg potter. So the Rambam am potter. Why? Because I took it out with permission. Frek the basher. What do you mean you took it out with permission? There's no mitzvah. Tabed var mitzvah as if there's a mitzvah here. But once the rabbanim pulled gzeira the rabba and they pulled that there's no mitzvah. What do you mean you did a mitzvah? You did nothing. It's like the same thing. You could have taken your stick and your lemon and walked into the rishus harabim. What do you mean tabed? There's no mitzvah anymore. Bishlomo, if there'd be a kima mitzvah. So I understand, when a person does a mitzvah, which turns out to be an aveirus of Allah, he's potter. But for Akhtar Basha, what do you mean he did a mitzvah? There's no mitzvah to shake a lulav and an esrog on Shabbos. It would be the same thing as if you took your walking stick and a lemon. Elamah, you see from the Rambam, not like that. You see from the Rambam, like Ibn Kiveger. that there's still a mitzvah in place, and therefore I'm considered a tall bitvah mitzvah, and therefore I have that saving grace. So Rabbi Asher says, his mom should pelt him. He says, he doesn't understand. Why does no one bring this Rambam? It's not in Rabbi Kiveger, it's not in the other Achrayim. Why does no one bring this Rambam? So Rabbi Asher wants to suggest that number 12, maybe there's another way to read this Rambam. He says, maybe Efshur de Ledugma ba'alma nokte. The Rambam was just picking a case. The Kavanosoi Lizman Shalifnei Xeris Chachomim Lebatal Mitzvah Slohov B'Shabbos. Says Rabbi Asher, maybe the Rambam was talking about before they asked Lulav. Let's think about before they asked Lulav. You still weren't allowed to carry it in Rosh Hashanah Rabban Dal Ramas. You just have to be more careful about it. So says Rabbi Asher, maybe that's behind the Rambam. The Rambam is not talking after Rabbah. The Rambam was talking about before Rabbah. Before Rabbah came into town, a guy wakes up Shabbos morning and he's completely not thinking. And he takes his Lulav and goes to his friend. So that was, there is a mitzvah to shake Lulav on Shabbos. There's no heter to violate the Shabbos. But Enachanami, now that Rabbah pulled the mitzvah, maybe Enachanami. Now that Rabbah pulled the mitzvah, if you attack and get up this Shabbos morning and walk across the street with your lulav, you would not be considered toye bidvar mitzvah. Okay, that's an interesting question.
Couldn't he just be referring to a general concept of good intention?
That's Rabbi Asher Weiss's first line. The efshu de ledugma ba'alma nokti. The Rambam just meant it as an example of what's a case of a toye bidvar mitzvah. But he didn't mean the nitty gritty lumdis like we're saying over here. So he that's his other answer. There's a sefer written called Kaba de Kashisa. Kaba de Kashisa. Kaba de Kashisa was written by the Chelkas Yoyev. His name was Rabbi Weingarten. He lived later than Rabbi Kiveger. He died in 1923. But if you look at the name of a sefer, it's called Kaba de Kashisa, because Kaba is Begematria 103. Kuf Beis Aleph is 103. He had 103 issues that he had with certain psakim. And one of his issues that he had was this Rabbi Kiveger. He was very troubled by this Rabbi Kiveger. He lived after Rabbi Kiveger, but he was very troubled by this Rabbi Kiveger. And he writes, V'kosh al dvarav. He says, "Hakivin shegazel chacham shodat koya hamitzvah v'hamitzvah psula midirabonim." Says the Chelkas Yoyev, "I don't get it. What's Rabbi Kiveger talking about? If Chazal said you can't do it, so the mitzvah becomes possible. Shuv any yoytza af midiraisa. Now you can't even fill the mitzvah of the raisa." Rabbi Kiveger wanted to say that even if I go shake lulav, I blow shofar Shabbos morning, I'll get a check. Says the Chelkas Yoyev, "Absolutely not. Shechachomim bitlus etzem hamitzvah. Chachomim changed the mitzvah." Not like Rabbi Kiveger, who said they never touched the mitzvah, they just told you can't do it. No, they uprooted the Torah. Where do I have such a ray? He says, I have a ray from a toisvis. A toisvis in sukkah that Seth alluded to a few minutes ago. What's that toisvis? So the Gemara over there is talking about whether or not you have roisha viruboy v'sukkah v'shulchan echutz l'sukkah. Where we're afraid that maybe because this table is outside the sukkah, we're afraid you maybe schlep out into the sukkah, outside the sukkah, and you'll eat outside the sukkah. So Taisus quotes over there in sukkah, Taisus says the following line. Zok Taisus, k'da'ashchon lebe shamay, hechadiyos v'apischa demetal alasa, that according to Beis Shammai, when you're sitting by the entrance of the sukkah, the gaz v'shemi yimshech achar shulchanek, we're afraid you may follow the table and eat outside the sukkah. The Ka'amri le'kiyam the mitzvah sukkah mimecha. The Gemara has this line that you never fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah in your life. Tafilu midiraisa loy kayim. So Taisa, you know what it means? It means even on a deraisa level. Why? Because if the Rabbanan said you can't sit in such a sukkah, sitting in such a sukkah gives you zero credit. So says the Chelkas Yoyev, oh, does a raya against Rabbi Kiveger. This Taisus that says that according to Beis Shammai, when you sit in a sukkah which is possible to Rabbanon, you will never mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah, means you will not mekayim it even on a deraisa level. What do you mean on a deraisa level? Hashem has no problem if I sit in a sukkah which is roisha v'rubay b'sukkah. Elamai says the Chelkas Yoyev. You see from this Taisus that no, once Chazal said this is a possible sukkah, you're not even yoytz to the mitzvah deraisa. Which lefizeh, it might be a steer in Taisus and Bechayrus and Taisus and sukkah. We prove from Taisus and Bechayrus that according to Taisus and Bechayrus, the mitzvah is there, or at least the meiser is there. Here says the Chelkas Yoyev Abarai from a Taisus and sukkah that if you sit in a sukkah pasul midrabanan, you get absolutely no credit like kiyam to mitzvah sukkah klal, meaning even on a deraisa level.
Rabbi, I don't understand that. Maybe you could explain it again. Maybe there's a difference because when you sit in a sukkah pasul, you didn't do the mitzvah right. It's not like, for instance, you blew the shofar. There, the shofar was cracked. You're right. If, let's say, you would have blown a shofar that had a crack on Shabbos, that's what it would be like comparing it to.
Good.
But here you're doing it the right way. It just, the other case, it's pasul. So of course, you're not yet. So how do you compare the two?
Good. So we're going to see Rabbi Asher Weiss is going to say a similar svar in a second to be mechalik between taisus and sukkah and our sugya. Okay, very good. That's what I want to talk about right now. So again, just where we're holding right now is that the Chalkas Yoyu thinks he has arrived from a Tosfos about a Sukkah to the Shaila about Shofar Barosh Hashanah. Says Rav Asher Weiss in number 15 and 16, not so fast. He says, the Efsher, the Rak Lagabi Mitzvah Yeshiv B'Sukkah Shechashash Roshem Yimshach L'Beisoy Achar Shulchanoi Tavichshash Korev Batla HaMitzvah L'Gamri. Rav Asher wants to suggest that Chazal picked case by case. Chazal sometimes decided to rip the whole mitzvah out, and sometimes they decided not to do that. How did they pick? So first he wants to say that, you know, they were practical people. They said like this, you know, the chance of you, if you have a table where you're sitting in the table, and the other half of the table is in the house. So Chazal said, the likelihood is you're going to get up and go inside. It's a very, very strong chashash. So Chazal said, at such a sukkah, gone, finished. We're removing the shame sukkah completely. But he said, but when it came to shofar, it's b'emes chashash rachuk. It's not such a practical chashash. So when it's not such a practical chashash, the siyog that they made wasn't as extreme as they did over there. He basically wants to say Chazal, depending on what they saw necessary, did. So he writes, number 15. The Efshid, the Rakhla Gabi Mitzvah Yeshivas Besoka Shechashash Hashem Yimshach Lebeisei Achar Shulchanei Davi Chashash Karoiv. That's very practical. So then Batwa Mitzvah Gam, they completely said no mitzvah. Masha'enkin Gabi Shreif Ibrashon Vetilas Lulo Shechashash Hashem Yavirin Adalam Shushon Chashash Urochayku. B'emes Ashtigal distant chashash. Then lo yechmiru kol kach ad kedei bitamitzvah. They didn't go that far. That's one practical nafkemina he wants to say. And then he says a little bit more lomnish over in number 16. He writes, v'oid yesh l'chalik, ben hod usukul l'nidah didon. The efshir, the dafka kishachom kavua tefus umatbeya l'mitzvah. When Chazal structured something a certain way, k'may tzuras ha'yeshiv b'sukul. How are you supposed to sit in the sukul? Oid ha'konis kiddish al yayim b'shabbos. B'chiyagam niyesh tamloim ishim shina matbeya shakav ha'chom m'chosla b'kiyim ha'mitzvah afilu min ha'ter. If there's a structure, how they want you to do it? They want the sukkah to look this way, look that way. Then, if you're not following that guidelines, they said even midiraisa not yotze. Aval kishacham migvil zman nasis hamitzvah, shem olay have kol kach pgam bekiyum hamitzvah min haTorah. But over here, there was no structure to the mitzvah. Chazal is just limiting when you could do the mitzvah. They're not saying how to make up the mitzvah. I think this might maybe a little bit what Michael was saying. By the mitzvah sukkah, they were structured how you build a sukkah. So if you don't build it their way, no mitzvah. But over here, Chazal didn't say how to blow the shofar. They said when to blow the shofar. Not how to do the mitzvah, but when to do the mitzvah. So if it's a question of when versus how, then maybe Chazal did not have the power to uproot the mitzvah completely. That's what
Rabbi Maybe this is Rabbi Kiva English. I just thought of, you mentioned Kiddush. Is that Rabbi Kiva English says you're Yotze Kiddush just by saying the Shabbos?
That's right.
But the Rabbanan instituted, you say Kiddush Alayayim in a certain way. So it's Lashitasa, even if you don't follow the way that the Rabbanan said to do it.
You still Yotze. That's a good point. That Kivega is very important. Okay. Now the truth is, the way all the Achranim get around Tosfos and Sukkah is by saying, well, there's other opinions in the Rishonim. For example, many Rishonim learn that if you sit in a Sukkah, which is Roisha V'Rubai, V'Sukkah V'Shechana V'Sech HaBayis, you're only not Yotze Midrabbanan. Now, that's very nice, but it doesn't change the fact that Tosfos says what he says. Meaning, for example, if you look in the Kavadi Kashisa, he writes that there's a random Sachim. The Ram Sachem says, the Masha Omud Lekayim Mitzvah Sukkah, Hainush Lekayim Kero, Ach Yotz Dechavosa, he's still Yotz Midaraisa. But that's not what Taisus says, Kipshutai. Taisus Kipshutai seems to be saying that when you don't have the full, if you're not doing the Rabbanan right, you're not even doing a Deraisa at all. Okay, there's a Ranali.
You know, the Rabbanan in that Gemara Sukkah, they didn't possle the Sukkah. They just said, you're not Yotz in the midst of Sukkah. I mean, the Rabbanan don't have the right to say that a Sukkah that's good Deraisa is not a good Sukkah.
Okay, maybe
what they can say is that you were not Yotz in the midst of such a Sukkah.
Right, but the question is, can they tell you weren't Yotz in the midst of Deraisa level?
Because I'll give you an afkamina, meaning if you ate in such a Sukkah, forget so far, the rabbis.
Oh, that's a different question. Well, you mevatel the mitzvah. Yeah, so that we talked about last year. If you're in a sukkah psula, is that considered a bittul mitzvah, I say also, or it's only just not a kiyum? That's a good question. Now, just from a practical standpoint, I'm skipping the last two ma'amar kamas because we're really short on time. What's a nafkamina between a kivega and a practical nafkamina? Is there any nafkamina? Or this is just the, you know, academic gymnastics over here? So the Chachma Shloima, this is very small print. The Chachma Shloima number 20 wants to attain a very practical nafkamina. Let's say I get up this year, Rosh Hashanah Shabbos, and I blow 30 koilas. Okay? Now I want to blow shofar the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Do I make a shechiyanu on the second day shofar? If I was already yotz to the mitzvah deraisa of shofar yesterday, according to Reb Kiveger, then I don't make a shechiyanu. I did the mitzvah already. But if you hold that I didn't yet fulfill the mitzvah, because what I did yesterday was absolutely zero garnish, so then today I take a shechiyanu. That's the simplest nafkamina lahalacha between these two tzadim. Forgetting all the lamdas, It's the simple nafkamin would be poshid whether or not the mitzvah was niskayim, to whether or not you would say shachyanu again or not. There's another nafkamin that the Chacham Shlomo talks about. Let's say a guy gets up Shabbos morning and he blows tkiya, shvarim churu, and he stops after the shvarim churu. He says, "Oy vey, Shabbos." Should he finish the set? Is there any reason to finish? If I'm not getting a mitzvah anyway, so stop when you're ahead. But if I'm taka doing a mitzvah, so maybe you should taka finish the set, get the mitzvah deraisa, so then put the shofar down. Those are some of the nafkamina that the Chacham Shlomo, again, I'm not going to pain your eyes to read.
Is there in here, is Yom HaRichta or not? If it's Yom HaRichta, you do it once for the whole day.
Right, but again, we all know that there's a whole shaila whether or not you really need can you make a shachyanu on the second day without a new beger, without all these things. So this year it's easy. We can make a shachyanu without a question because we didn't blow the shofar yet. But if you taka hold, again, obviously, if you hold that it's not a Yom HaRichta, so then it's simple, again, a little less. Meaning, what the purpose of the Chacham Shlomo is if you can say that the Shachyanu on the second day is already when the mitzvah was done, so then you have to ask yourself, why am I making another Shachyanu? I did the mitzvah already. You don't make a Shachyanu when you light Neros Chanukah the second night. So why would you say Shachyanu when you terrace? I didn't do the mitzvah the first day. What I did the first day was not a mitzvah. Now, yeah, Michael.
But is the Shachyanu on the mitzvah? Or it's on doing the Maisa mitzvah. In other words, you tried to do it.
We did.
You didn't be Mekayim the mitzvah, but you blew. It was Shabbos, so you weren't Yotzi. You didn't.
Shachyanu is on the
key mitzvah. But I did the Maisa mitzvah. I did the blowing.
It's not a Maisa mitzvah, Chazal say, if Chazal were able to pull it. Blowing that shofar was like blowing a saxophone. It's absolutely garnished. It doesn't count for anything. So therefore, you weren't Mekayim the mitzvah, and therefore, you're ready second day. You can make a Shachyanu. There's a famous Rajba in Rosh Hashanah Tezvav. Again, we could probably spend a whole shir on this Rajba. I'm not going to, but I just want to mention it in regards to this sugya. The Rajba is bothered with a kasha that all the Rishonim are bothered with, which we've spoken about in the past. Why is it that we're allowed to sound so many shofars? We sound a lot of koilis. Strictly speaking, you only need to hear 30 koilis. So we sound what's called the tkiyas de miyosha, the 30 koilis, and then we sound another 30 koilis, tkiyas de mu'mid. So the Gemara Taka asks, why do we do it? So the Gemara says, "Kedei la'arbe v'sasatan." We want to mess around with the satan. First, we sound shofar, then we sound another shofar. We're messing around with his brain. Frek the Rishonim. Tosis asks it on the page. Rishonim will ask it. Why isn't it Baal Tosif? If the mitzvah is 30 sounds, so why are we blowing 60? Well, since when do we have the right to add on to the mitzvah? If the mitzvah is sound 30 sounds, so why are we blowing 60, 100? What's going on over here? Why is that not a violation of Baal Tosif? Who gave us the right to add on to the mitzvah? We want to be frumma than Hashem. Hashem said, "I want you to sound 30. I want to hear 30 kailas from you." So I say, "Hashem, don't worry, I'm a frumma. I'm going to give you 100. That's not what he wants.
No, but that's different because we learned in Shurim that we don't know what the 30 is.
Yeah, we do know what the 30 is.
So it's how to define the 30.
No, that's to get to the 30. Rebbe Avos Takono got us to 30. Once we're at 30, we now know what the Torah wants. It's the above 30 is the problem.
It's the 30 what? From 9.
Right, we start right from 9 to 30 was Rebbe Avos Takana because we didn't know exactly how to blow the Trua. But once we know that the Trua is either Tkiya Shvarim Trua or Tzari the Tratarat, now we know you got to do it 3 times. So now we're at 30. Everything's great. Why are we continuing? We now know the Torah wants us to blow. Again, everyone agrees. Tkiya Shofar Midereisa after Rebbe Avos Takana was 30 Kailas. So why do we blow more? Oh, Kedei La'arva Vesasatan. What does that mean, Kedei La'arva Vesasatan? I want to shake Lulav for 10 days. Why is that permissible? So that's Rishonim's kasha. So the Rajba, he writes like this, number 21. Umistavru de lekosha klav, de leyamru hasam de ikum shem al toysif el mashu moysif midas atzimoy. You know what it's about toysif? When you decide to add on to a mitzvah, if a kohen decides, instead of the text given to us from Hashem, yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, I'm going to add another, I'm going to say, and by the way, the Yankees should win the World Series this year. That would be a violation of... That would be a violation of adding on to the cool. To the mitzvahs. Masha Enkein.
What?
Masha Enkein, Dr. Rajba.
I'm just leaving there.
You got to mute.
I'm trying to find my button over here. Give me 1 second.
Well, my grandson cut
Jay Bindiger, you need to mute yourself.
Yeah, Jay, I sent you a text. I guess you didn't see it.
I did too.
I'm trying to find my mute. Okay. But Dr. Rajba, Avol b'masha omdu chachom v'tiknu l'tzorich. But if the Chazal did it, ain't kam bal toisif. So the Rajma's difference is between who does the additions. If we do the adding, we can't do that. If Chazal do the adding, they have all the rights in the world. If Chazal decide we should blow 100, again, they don't say 100. They really say we should blow 60. Where do we get to 100? We spoke about that in the shir last year, the Aruch, the mother of Sisroi, whatever it is. But Zakti Rajba, what's his yisoid? That you don't violate bal toisif if it comes from Chazal. If it comes from Chazal, you're okay. But here's the kicker. Zok the Rashba, for who adin bal tikra. And it goes the other way also. Frek the Rashba kasha, why isn't not blowing the shofar on Shabbos a violation of taking away from the Torah? The Torah says blow shofar 7 days a week. Comes along Rabbi says except for Shabbos. Frek the Rashba, who gives you the right to do that? Who gives you the right to take away from the Torah? Because whenever Chazal do something that's not Bal Tosif and it's not Bal Tigra, if Chazal tell you blow, it's not Bal Tosif. If Chazal tell you don't blow, that's also not taking away from the Torah, because they have the right to tell you how and what and how to structure the Torah. Ah, Zokt Rabbi Chanan and Kovitz Arvis and Yevamis. He says 1 second. El del chayr kashal raya a rashba. The kibin shepatru chachamim meha mitzvah. He says, I don't get it. It's not bal tigra. Because if you learn like the other side of the chakira, that Chazal told us that when the Torah wrote this, there is no mitzvah. Memela leka bal tigra kal kibin shein chal olav chi klal shein olav chi of klal the kaima mitzvah. There's no mitzvah here. There's no mitzvah here. So zokt Rebbe Bachonu muchach mizeh. The Gamma Rashba Sovik Meshkas of Lamala. Shah Mitzvah Shot Torah Oimedes Mimkayim. It must be. Meaning, if you learn that Chazal pulled the Mitzvah, so there's no Bal Tigra, there's no Mitzvah here. What am I doing wrong? I'm not doing anything wrong. I don't have a Mitzvah here. You want to have a Kash? Ask on the rabbis, but what I'm doing is not wrong. Elamai Zok to Abachonim, you see from this Rashba, that's not true. Even after all the smoke clears, there's still a Mitzvah here. And I'm still not keeping it. Oh, that's a kasha, bal tigra. Why am I not keeping limits? The answer is because Chazal, I'm listening to Chazal. That's what Rabbi Chanan wants to say. Comes along Rabbi Shai and listen to this, guys. This is the end of the shtickel. Number 23, he writes, El adayin yesh l'ayin. Hayim yesh kam tur bilvad ulo oylem yikah b'schar kimi she'inim atzav o'isa de'in koich b'yachom el l'poitri v'alaki lo'in chayv o'yishem yesh b'koichem af lo'ymer she'in kan avoydes Hashem b'lo yikah b'schar. He wants to say another nafkimina. Is the pshat that we're not mechuyif? Okay, we're not mechuyif. According to B'kivayga, I'm not mechuyif. But if I do it, I get tzchar. But he says, no, maybe not. Maybe b'chlal, there's nothing over here. V'lo yikar b'schar af k'mi she'en mitzvah. V'av she'en b'yodam loymar de'en kan chevtze de mitzvah, the shittis around v'etvah, ki k'tzarti mo'it. So, Dr. Barshavayt, you have to take another step. Not only is it a question of mitzvah, not mitzvah, but maybe b'chlal, this is zero. This is b'chlal, not ratzon Hashem. Hashem has no desire, no interest in such a shayf. Now, I just want to end off with one word over here from the Meshech Chachma. The Gemara says in Mashana number 24, Amr Yitzchak, Kol Shonei She'in Toikin Lo B'Tchilasei, any year where we don't blow Shofar in the beginning, Meirian Lo B'Sofer, we're going to cry out, it's going to be bad at the end. My time, why do the ear Satan? Since we didn't blow Shofar, we didn't confuse the Satan, so we're going to have a very bad year. Says Tosfos number 25, Mefarish B'Halachas G'dolos, the Bahag explains, Lav de Mikli B'Shabbos. This Gemara doesn't mean if we're not blowing shofar because of Shabbos, elo disyalet unsa, but rather it's talking about a case where there's an oinus. So Taisha seems to say, if let's say, for example, Nebuchadnezzar during the Holocaust, when no one had a shofar in Auschwitz, and you couldn't blow shofar, that's taka a bad sign. But this year, we're not blowing shofar because of Shabbos, that's taka not a bad sign. So Frek the Taz, number 26, he asks on the Taisvis, what's the difference between an oinus and Shabbos? Oinus rechman apachre. Why would oinus be held accountable? Why would I be held accountable for not being able to blow shofar because of the Nazis? You tell me all those Jews in the concentration camps for 5 years that were unable to blow shofar because they were under Nazi control were held accountable for not blowing a shofar? What happened to Anas Rechman HaPatre? As I frek the Taz on Tosfos. Comes along a beautiful Meshech Chachma, Rabbi Yisai. This Meshech Chachma is gewaldic. And it was so gewaldic that it would answer up the kasha of the Taz. It's a little long, but it's a must read before we come into the Yom HaDin. So talk to Meshech Chachma like this, number 27. He quotes the Bahag. Pirush Bahag lav de milsa b'shabbos el disyal de unsa hakavon. What does Tosfos mean? Kein atkia mitzvah sasei k'may kol ha mitzvah sasei beidra ye'enesh al boi kiyuma oisv. Says Rabbi Meir Simcha from Divinsky. You have to know shofar is not like any other mitzvah that if you don't do it you get a patch. V'chi onus rachman a patchrei rakhu k'may refuas taale v'lizikar nasi. Says Meshech Chachma it's not like onus rachman a patchrei by shofar. Because shofar is like a salal zikaron. It's supposed to bring a cur. It's supposed to create remembrance. Ukemay bechape b'yamakipurim. Ukemay she'amru kivin the zikaron osi command the osi b'fnim dami. The Gemara says the shofar is like going with nail of nim. V'nimtza hachoyle in ba'onus loyikach mazar v'rufua. Says Meshech Chachma. What would happen if a patient doesn't take his medication because of an oinus? Hayim yisrape? Would he get better? You say it's an oinus. It wasn't his fault they didn't take the medicine. Says the Meshech Chachma Kain, Kishen Neder Azikar Neshefer, if we don't have some remembrance to Hashem, to have pity on us, Su HaChoyli Blem Ezaz Refua, the Katri Gassitim Kaima, we're stuck. Meaning what the Meshech Chachma is basically saying is there's no Tor Oinus Rachmana Patri on the Shefer. The Shefer needs to do its purpose, and without that, the Satan kills us. Oh, aye, so then the Kash is, so what happens on Shabbos? Ulam says the Meshech Chachma b'Shabbos the Echad Hamiyuchah b'Mitzvah Shofar Hulitkei b'Shofar Shel Ayil. One of the things that is special about Shofar is we sound an Ayil. Why? LaHaskir Zchoso Akedah Shofar Shel Ayil. We want to remember the Akedah that was with an Ayil. K'mo Yishomer Parakamad Rosh Hashanah V'Atkia Machnes Zchos Yisrael Ma'ashenach Lo B'Yitzchak. What do we do with the Shofar? We want to remind the Kodesh Baruch Hu what we inherited from Yitzchak. Limsar Atzmam Lecherpo Lemako Lebiza Avor Shem Hashem. We give up everything. We give up everything, our entire life, our entire being, to be an Eved Hashem. We gave up all our feelings, our desires, Yitzchak's entire life, all the years he put in, he gave it all up to Hashem. Fine. Says the Meshech Chachma, last shtickle. Vini Yadu, it's well known. Kibnei Yisrael v'Hashem Yisbarach, Heimah Kishneo Avim Nemonim. Klaiso and Hashem are like two good friends. Kol Echad Choshish Al Kavriyem. We each care about the other one's glory. That's why in our tefillin it says, Shema Yisrael, in Hashem's tefillin it says Mika Amcha, that's why we call it Chag HaMatzos, and he calls it Chag HaPesach, right? We all know that we each want to complement the other. Fine. Listen to this. This is Gevaldik Rabbeis. Zekta Meshech Chachma. Ulechein. Ukiyotze B'Zahar Lechein. Last shtickle paragraph. Ach Reishi Yadiyalonu Gedoyla Sator Alois Mimitz HaShofar Hashem Yuvotol Af Bo'in Esakon Gedoyla. Now that I just told you how important the Shofar is. The Shofar is like medication. And if you don't get it, you're not going to get better. The Satan's going to dominate us. And still, what does Klal Yisrael say? We're willing to forgo the shofar. Why? We'd rather proclaim Hashem's glory and keep Shabbos. We're willing to forgo it all. We're willing to forgo the greatest medication in the world because maybe taking this medication will cause a chalashim. I mean, we're basically being selfless. We're giving up our chances for a good year because we say to Hashem, your covenant means more to us than that. It's not like Yitzis Mitzrayim. Shabbos represents the creation of the world. V'yiskadol v'yiskadol shmei rabo. V'oikrim kulai. We're willing to give it all up. Kavoid kiddush shmo yisparach. Says the Or Samech, that's what it means not to blow shofar on Shabbos. It means I'm willing to give up all the powers that shofar carries. And I'm doing this to myself. Self-imposed. Because I feel chas v'shalom maybe will come out of bizarre into Hashem's covet. V'kimet shekein, zog to Or Samech, beautiful. This is the biggest akedah that we can make. By us withholding our wants and desires to blow the shofar, because of Hashem's glory, is the biggest declaration of our devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it creates a ritzui. Zog to Ar Sameach, when we don't blow shofar on Shabbos, we're basically giving up, we're basically doing what Yitzchak did. We're giving up everything that we want to do for Hashem's glory. We want to blow the shofar, we need to blow the shofar, we're saying we can't. That's gufa, says the Or Samech, is the biggest declaration of our devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it works like the shofar. Masha Enki, not having a shofar because there's a shortage of shofars, that's just an oinus. Oinus Rechman Apache doesn't work by shofar because you don't have your medication. But when we're giving it up for Hashem's glory, Zok the Or Samech, then we're giving it up because we're showing our devotions like Yitzchak's the Akedah, then it accomplishes just like the Akedah. Gevaldig Yisoid from the Meir Simcha, which Lefiza would answer up the Kasha of the Taz on Taisus. Okay, Rabbi Yisoid wishing everyone a good Kibbutz Shur, Ksiva Chazim B'Toiv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer all our Tfilos L'Toiv for ourselves, for our families, and for all of Klai. So let's stay safe and have a wonderful, wonderful upcoming year.
Rabbi, don't disconnect yet. I just want to wish Chaim and Lisa Erlach a Mazel Tov. They had a granddaughter yesterday in Eretz Yisrael.
Yes, Mazel Tov to Chaim and his wife on the birth of a granddaughter. He mentioned to me,
if he was a boy, he could go for the bris.
Right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should shower your